Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Black Buffalo products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of nicotine or tobacco. If you're an adult age 21 and older and use nicotine or tobacco, I want to tell you about Black Buffalo's award-winning nicotine pouches. What are they made of? Cured edible green leaves, food-grade ingredients, and pharmaceutical-grade nicotine. No tobacco leaf or stem. So if you're 21 and older, consume nicotine or tobacco, and want to join the Black Buffalo herd, head over to blackbuffalo.com to learn more. You can order nicotine pouches online, and they ship directly to most states. Or check out their store locator to purchase pouches at thousands of retail locations around the country. Black Buffalo Tobacco Alternative. Bold flavor, full pouches.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Volume.
The 3 and Out Podcast with me, John Middlecoff, is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. There's no better place to make every moment more than with FanDuel. America's number one sportsbook, very easy to use, safe and secure. You get your winnings fast. I cannot recommend it enough. Love gambling with FanDuel. If you are new, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to get started now. Sign up with promo code Colin so they know we sent you. What is going on, everybody? John Middlecoff, 3 and Out Podcast. How are we doing? Just watched a little Monday Night Football. Cooper Rush slinging it around. Saquon Barkley looking spry. Sometimes the NFC East over the last several years can drive us nuts. They're big markets. They're TV ratings magnets. But their football teams have not been good. I enjoyed that game tonight. And I don't know how good either team is, but that was an enjoyable Cowboy-Giants game. That, you know, in the past, I think we've been force-fed that. I could take that. Micah Parsons, Saquon Barkley, very enjoyable. Even Daniel Jones, you know, he's growing on me a little bit for a guy that's destined to be a backup. But a lot coming on this podcast. Some reaction to the Sunday night game that I didn't get to last week, or I mean last yesterday. The Eagles, Matt Stafford, Doug Peterson, killing it. Some other stuff around the NFL. Of course, if you listen on Colin's feed, make sure you subscribe to the 3 and Out Podcast. Middlecoff mailbag at John Middlecoff. Fire in those DMs and let's dive into some football. As Jimmy Johnson once famously said in the bowels of Candlestick in San Francisco, how about them Cowboys? And let's face it, when Dak Prescott hurt his finger, I, like probably many of you, said the season was over. So before we get into the famous quarterback controversy that Jerry Jones sneaky started this week, he's the one that threw it out there, let's just give Cooper Rush, separate from any of the noise, any of the craziness that's about to come, because it's coming. Why? It's the Cowboys. That's what happens with the Lakers, the Yankees, the Cowboys. When you get involved in this stuff, it takes on a life of its own. The SEC, it's coming. There is no stopping the floodgates from opening. But I think we need to tip our hat because I once famously said Jimmy Garoppolo is the best backup in football. And what we saw against Denver, you know, I'm not going to necessarily jump off the bandwagon, but Cooper Rush has played better this week for sure than Jimmy Garoppolo. And Cooper Rush now has started three games, one last year, two this year. He's 3-0. And let's face it, these last couple games feels like he's saving their season because most teams, if their quarterback goes out for a while, their season is over. Think about last year. Russell Wilson with Seattle had hurt his finger. What happened? Geno came in. They started losing games. Season over. 7-10. Now, Russell came back, didn't play that well. Regardless, you don't need to be some quarterback guru, Andy Reid, Mike Holmgren, Sean Payton, to realize Cooper Rush is pretty good. Like, that's pretty impressive. Now, are the 2022 New York Giants the 1986 New York Giants? No. But still, Monday Night Football, a lot of pressure. Quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, given it's like it's kind of all on you. You got your wide receivers dropping balls left and right. I mean, CeeDee Lamb had one of the worst stretches for a good player you will see. I hate to, like, you're going to drop a ball that's wide open. Like, I'm not big on smiling and laughing. Just kind of run back to the huddle, man. Now, he made up for it down the stretch of the game. Obviously, had a game, basically the game-winning touchdown catch one-handed. Had a great, I think, third and five or third and one catch where he got tackled right at the sticks. So he made up for it. But CeeDee Lamb, let's face it, the hype is not quite living up to the talent, even though he has some flash plays. But regardless, Cooper Rush looked excellent. Now, let's just, you know, talk about the reality of the situation because it's not going to stop. I like Dak Prescott as a guy. He's an easy human being to root for. Everything we've ever seen since the moment he came into the league, you're like, that's a high-quality guy. That's the type of person I would want to be around. Obviously, from an athletic standpoint, pretty damn good athlete. From an arm standpoint, here's a reality. He's probably got a bottom five arm in the NFL for a starting quarterback. He does not have a good arm. And he hasn't played, was terrible in the playoff game, and looked awful before he got injured against Tampa. Now you could say Niners defense is good, Tampa's defense is good. Still, I've always said, I have no problem having Dak Prescott as my starting quarterback, but the moment they gave him $160 million, I'm like, I'm out. He's like, to me, not remotely close to being worth that. And you're like, well, the stats and the numbers, I don't give a shit. Here's what I know. Good teams are not afraid to play that guy. You know who they're afraid to play? Herbert, Mahomes, Allen, Lamar. I mean, all the good. Hell, even Kyler. Kyler doesn't even study. He makes you nervous. You don't sleep well at night. Why? He's way more talented than Dak Prescott. And I put this out on the social media streets, and people think I'm being a hater. And I'm not. Because being a good player in pro sports means doing it over and over and over again. Sustaining play. And while Dak Prescott is not a perfect player by any means, we consider him a good player because he has a long body of work. And that is hard to do. A lot of players and backup players are not able to do it. It's why they're backups. The difference between starters and backups aren't always like physical attributes, arm strength, speed. It's about the consistency to execute. And what football is about more than just, we talk about it all the time, just athletic ability or arm strength. It's about executing the plays. Executing, you're playing in a team environment. And Dak Prescott, over a long period of time, has proven to be pretty darn good. You know, when I say pretty darn good, somewhere between, I would say, 11 and 14 quarterback in the NFL. In my opinion, he's never been a top 10 quarterback. But there's nothing wrong if you have a good team, and now the Cowboys have a good defense, you got good weapons on offense, you can win 11, 12 games. But once you get to the playoffs, it leaves a little something to be desired. And when you look at Cooper Rush, the talent, I'm not saying the player, because Cooper's only had to start three games in the NFL. So what would he look like over 50 starts? No one knows. Maybe time will tell. But from a talent standpoint, I don't see any different. I mean, they both have pretty good arms, average arms. I don't know. Dak, like I said, relative to the rest of the NFL starters, you know, is toward the bottom of the NFL. I would say he's definitely bottom 10. Cooper Rush arm looks about the same. Maybe Dak's a little faster. Maybe he's a little quicker to get rid of the ball. I just don't see the difference. Now, I'm not arguing that if he just starts the rest of the season, he's going to look like this week in and week out. But when they've asked him to go in, he's looked pretty darn good. And once upon a time, some injuries happened. Dak came in and they never looked back. The difference here is they invested a ton of money last year into Dak Prescott. The guaranteed number is super high. But even Jerry said it himself, like, hopefully this guy plays so well that it becomes a problem, that it becomes an issue. And that's part of the Cowboy story, is their owner talks. The owner can't keep his mouth shut, which is fun for us, which is, you know, the roller coaster ride of the NFL falling the Cowboys, is Jerry couldn't even help himself. And then you have a moment like this, Monday Night Football, dude throwing dimes, dude throwing game-winning touchdown passes. You're like, well, would it have looked that much different with Dak Prescott? I don't know. I've been watching Dak Prescott the last couple of years. I've never really saw it. The Cowboys have always liked him more, I think, than a lot of us. And when they gave him that money, we all went, ugh. But this is, if Cooper Rush keeps playing like this, I don't know exactly when Dak's going to come back, another couple weeks, another 5 weeks. They keep winning. This conversation is not going to go away. And here's the crazy part. We all thought that the big guy on the sideline, Mike McCarthy, was a dead man walking. What if Cooper Rush is the person that saves his job? This is why the NFL is the greatest reality show in America, because you can't script any of this crap. We all thought the moment Dak hurt his hand, Cowboys, they're going to win like 3-4 games, especially if he's out multiple months. Now you got Cooper Rush rattling off W's, Mike McCarthy smiling on the sideline right next to Kellen Moore, and now they're 2-1. So you get quarterback play like this, you get a defense like that. Do you know what Micah Parsons reminds me of? My favorite scene in a sports movie ever by a mile is the scene in Blue Chips when Nick Nolte goes to the Bayou to see Shaq. And this is, you know, like 93, 94. So like Shaq had been in the NBA like a year or two. And the scene of him in like this barn playing against people that, you know, him blocking shots and dunking on people, it's incredible. And at the time, like if you grew up, you're around my age, you're born in the mid 80s and you watch young Shaq, we've never seen anything quite like that. Now, Micah Parsons, physically, it's not like he's 6'8 or whatever, right? He doesn't look like Alden Smith. But the way he plays, even Troy Aikman said tonight, like, hey, guys, he runs 4.3. When he's on the field, there is no one on the field faster than Micah Parsons. Then he's got these spin moves, these power moves. He's like Derek Thomas with a little bit of Lawrence Taylor. Like, the hype on this guy is real. I mean, the two best players tonight on the field came from Penn State. Both athletic freaks, both 4.3 guys. And what's cool about the Giants guy in Saquon Barkley is, you know, sometimes with running backs, the wear and tear, you have a major injury, you know, we just kind of write you off because we see guys churn through players. All of a sudden, a running back has a couple years and then he's shot. Saquon had an ankle injury, then he tears ACL. We're like, how's he ever going to get it back? And if you watch him this year, he's got his speed and explosion back. And when you are that fast and you're already just that talented, he's always had great balance. He's already had great vision, his ability to change direction and cut and get to angles. He's always been natural at that. But when he lost his speed, it wasn't the same. He could get hawked. Well, you saw tonight on the touchdown run, made a guy miss, broke a little tackle, gets the edge. No one's catching him. And it's fun to see an elite talent. Like Micah Parsons is just an elite talent kicking everyone's ass. Saquon Barkley was an elite talent doing that, lost it, and now it feels like he's getting it back. And it's just, as a fan, running back's my favorite position. And I got to give Brian Daboll some credit. The knock on Saquon Barkley was never his ability to catch, was never his ability to run, was never his ability to make a guy miss. He would not pass for protect. There's always actually been a knock of Adrian Peterson's, which is ironic because Adrian Peterson is like his biggest linebackers. He just would not pass protect, wouldn't do it. And tonight there was a play when Anthony Barr had broke through the line and Saquon takes him on. He kind of gets run over, but even Troy's like, you know, you just put your face in front of him and willing to take it on. That's enough to slow down the rush. So the Giants coaching staff, that's a well-coached team. To go from Joe Judge the last couple years, which was basically a Freddie Kitchens, Jim Tomsula level embarrassment. Like, ironically, Freddie Kitchens was on a staff. Like, that's a Joe Judge buddy. It was a joke. I mean, no one can ever forget the 3rd-and-8 quarterback sneak. I mean, that's just, you don't ever shake that. Like, that's on your resume for life. No one can ever look at Joe Judge, the football coach, the same. Ironically, Bill Belichick takes him back. It's like, oh, come coach my quarterbacks. I mean, I wouldn't have done that, but hell, Bill's a little crazy. Brian Daboll is a real coach. And you watch him on the sideline, the fire. He just fits New York. And clearly, like I said, you know, a couple weeks back, the difference of him and all the other Belichick guys, he left for a while. And you can tell, like, this guy came ready. Now, I don't think the Giants are that talented. I think they're one of the worst teams in the league roster-wise. Their quarterback is not good. Like, this is the last year Daniel Jones is going to be the quarterback of the Giants. For them just to be in all these games, obviously they won the first two. They were in this game. They're going to be in games for a while is a reflection of Brian Daboll. Like, I'm not trying to anoint him as like the next great coach, but he clearly knows what he's doing. And the bar for the New York Giants is just simply that. I mean, they went from Pat Shurmur, who's just a terrible coach, Joe Judge, completely over his skis, to Brian Daboll, just a real NFL coach. And honestly, if you can get them more talent, which they are going to accumulate because they're going to have money, they're going to have higher draft picks, I would be pretty excited. I'd be willing to take my lumps this year, just stay competitive, lose some games, and just enjoy the Brian Daboll experience. I think he's got a good coaching staff, love his sideline demeanor. It just feels, for the first time in a long, long time, obviously those last couple years with Coughlin were tough, but I know all you Giants fans respect the hell out of that guy. He was obviously a championship-winning football coach, but ran just a legitimate operation. It feels like Brian Daboll's kind of cut from that mold, and I would be excited if I'm a New York Giants fan for sure. Football season is underway, so now is the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, because right now new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's free bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Just sign up using the promo code COLIN. FanDuel has all your favorite bets from money line to point spreads to player props. You can combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with a same game parlay. The app is safe, secure, and super easy to use. Get paid your winnings fast. So sign up today with promo code COLIN for your no sweat first bet. Make every moment more this season with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL.
21 and over and present in Arizona, Colorado, Connecticut, Illinois, Iowa, Indiana, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, or West Virginia. Must wager in designated offer market. Max bet $5. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 533-42-ARIZONA, 1-888-789-7777, or visit ccpg.org/chat, Connecticut, 1-800-GAMBLER, or visit fanduel.com/RG, Colorado, Iowa, Indiana, Illinois, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Virginia, 1-877-770-STOP, Louisiana, or 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help, Michigan, 1-877-8 HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369, New York, Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-888-9789, Tennessee, 1-800-522-4700, Wyoming. Visit www.1800gambler.net, West Virginia.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Black Buffalo products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of nicotine or tobacco. If you are an adult age 21 and older and use nicotine or tobacco, I want to tell you about an American-made success story in Black Buffalo's award-winning nicotine pouches. Black Buffalo's nicotine pouches are not owned by Big Tobacco. They're an independent company proudly built right here in the USA for 21 and over adult consumers. Black Buffalo was built by dippers with decades of smokeless tobacco use. They believed the market wanted tobacco alternative nicotine products that offered the best of both worlds. Bold flavor, full pouches. What are they made of? It's pretty simple. Cured edible green leaves, food-grade ingredients, and pharmaceutical-grade nicotine. Most importantly, there's no tobacco leaf or stem. All proudly made right here in the USA. So if you're 21 and older, consume nicotine or tobacco, and want to join the Black Buffalo herd, head over to blackbuffalo.com to learn more. You can order nicotine pouches online, and they ship directly to most states. Or check out the store locator to purchase pouches at thousands of retail locations around the country. Black Buffalo Tobacco Alternative. Bold flavor, full pouches.
When you're hiring for your small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. Listen, at The Volume, we're always looking for people, and hiring is easy when you have that many quality candidates, and you better believe we use LinkedIn. I just played golf last weekend with a guy who runs an insurance company who said he lives on LinkedIn, and he has never found better employees than through this website, because LinkedIn knows that small businesses are wearing so many hats and might not have the time or resources. And let's face it, how would you even find these people? Well, they're on LinkedIn. And then LinkedIn constantly finding ways to make everything easier. They even launched a feature that helps you write job descriptions, making the process quicker. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/John. That's linkedin.com/John to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, let's dive into the Bronco 49er game. Because when I recorded on Sunday, I just went live right after the Packer-Bucks game. And the Bronco 49er game, I have nothing to say about either defense. I think, I don't know how you could disagree with me. Both of them are fantastic. Both defenses you can play playoff football with. You can compete to win a championship with the level of team speed, the pass rush, the physicality, the defensive backfield. Both those two defenses, high level. They are going to be a problem for every single team in the league. Broncos, UC Davis guys, their defensive coordinator, rooting for them. The 49ers, I watch up close and personal. It's excellent. And they're missing one of their better players in Jimmy Ward. And Eric Armstead didn't even play last night. That's a big-time defense. Both the defenses, no issues with. It's going to translate as long as they don't have devastating injuries. And Jesus, 49ers get injured left and right. And they even had an injury last night. Al Shaer, one of their linebackers, got hurt. But if the core guys stay healthy, they're going to be excellent. Last night was about the offense. And listen, I like a good physical game as much as anybody. That was, I would like a little more. You know, I'd like some more first downs. I'd like a couple less three and outs. But let's start with the Broncos. And when they acquired Russell Wilson, every single team in the league would have done that, given their situation. They didn't have a quarterback. They had a core group of guys. They made a bold play for a guy that is a Hall of Famer, that's 32 years old, right? It's not like they traded for a guy 37, 38 years old. You know, I think now, like, his age is basically the old 27, 28. But here's the thing, and I think about this all the time. Like, the crazy part about athletics that are so much different than all of our jobs, like, think about the best person you know in your industry at their job. The only way that they are going to get worse is if something, like, they get really sick. Because usually as you age, if you are in finance, if you're in media, if you're in sales, whatever, you get better. The only thing that can slow you down is like spending time in the hospital or losing your mind. Other than that, like if you keep your marbles and keep your health, like you're able to work and you're able to produce. And typically you're going to make more and more as time goes. The thing with athletics is like kind of finite and it ends. And typically, historically, the older guys get in baseball, basketball, and football, they fell off a cliff athletically, right? You know, in basketball, your quickness, your ability to jump, you just look old. I mean, it's natural. Anyone that played hoops, even if you were just a pickup player at 22, you felt a lot better than you do at 38, right? And in baseball, you lose the bat, your bat swing, your bat, your ability to time up pitches. You don't have the you know, the timing on your swing. You don't have the swing speed, right? Pitchers lose velocity. Football players, a lot of it's different, right? Some guys lose explosion. Some guys, and which we've seen in quarterbacks recently, some great ones, Manning and Breeze and Roethlisberger, they couldn't throw anymore. Like Roethlisberger, Manning, and Breeze, they had never been smarter. They had never had a better understanding of what they were doing. They had never seen more defenses, but their arms literally did not. I mean, Peyton was the worst out of the three of them. He could barely throw. It was crazy to watch. Breeze and Roethlisberger, they still could throw, but it was clearly a shell of what they once were, especially Big Ben. And when you can't do that, like, you can't even function. Now, the thing, we've always said this about Tom Brady, it's like, well, he's never been smarter. He's 45. He's literally seen everything. Somehow, he's still able to be an excellent teammate. He still gets along with guys that are 22, 23, 24 years old. And you watch him throw, you're like, this guy's still got a howitzer. Like, when's it going to end? The only way it ends for Brady is like the only way it ends for people in business. Something catastrophic has to happen. He's got to have a major injury. Because if he doesn't have a major injury, he's going to maintain being an excellent player. You watch Russell Wilson, like, his arm strength is still there. He still throws deep balls like he did to DK Metcalf. He's just throwing them now to Sutton or Jerry Jeudy. Now, those guys clearly are not quite DK Metcalf, but the ball, to me, looks the same coming out of his hand. Where he has fallen off a cliff, and again, I don't blame the Broncos for doing this, and I don't blame them for paying him, because once they make the trade, they have to pay him.
but he is a shell of himself athletically. What made Russell Wilson great was not just dominating from within the pocket. It was kind of this ad-lib ability. He had like this Steve Young-type quality to him. He could make plays happen behind the line of scrimmage, but on the move. And right now, I see a guy that moves probably half as well as he used to. And if I was a Bronco, and part of that, like, then when he's moving, his ball placement is off, which to me would be very concerning. Now, there is just a natural, as he plays more with these guys, he should get more in rhythm. But if you've watched Russell Wilson, the peak Russell Wilson, he doesn't look close to that. And this comparison that Rodgers, his first year in this new offense years ago, like Rodgers, the arm strength was still there. The mobility was still there. Remember, he was just kind of inaccurate. And then once he got comfortable in it, he gained much of his accuracy. Russell Wilson, movement-wise, looks about half as quick as he once did. And if you remove that from him, he no longer brings to the table what he once did. He is no longer, if he was an 8 or a 9 out of 10, he then immediately goes to like a 6 out of 10. And there's nothing the Broncos can do about it, but I don't know how you watch that guy and don't go, that's pretty concerning. Because ultimately, you got him to be this crazy playmaker. Because that's, historically, he's one of the great playmakers we've ever seen. He's like kind of this Lamar Jackson-ish Drew Brees. I'm not saying he ever ran like Lamar Jackson. I just mean like he was just box office, but he was accurate, but he could also throw it down the field. That comparison, I tried to mix and match a couple of players. I don't even know if that works. But my point is, he no longer is this special guy. And you can maybe it comes back. I would bet against it. I would be very nervous if I was a Bronco fan. But like I said, your defense is awesome. And if he can just play average football, you should be able to compete to go to the playoffs. Kyle Shanahan and Jimmy Garoppolo. They were atrocious on Sunday night. I mean, Jimmy was horrendous beside one drive. Balls going all over the place. No rhythm. Just it was hard to watch. And what really angered me and made me just go, Kyle, what is going on? When your defense is playing that well, the final score was 11 to 10, right? Well, the defense only allowed 9 points because Jimmy pulled the Dan Orlovsky. Well, when you're in that game, you can either hold on for dear life and just hope we get to the finish line and win by, you know, with 10 points, which you would say pretty hard to do just in general. And you can go, well, Russ is so terrible. But Russ proved that one drive, one out of like his however many drives they had, 12, 13 drives, he was able to cook. And it just happened to be on one of the last drives of the game, and he drove them all the way down the field, and they scored. And up till that point, Kyle had been holding on for dear life. I do not understand, for a guy that I think very highly of as an offensive mind, in a game like that, doesn't just have a couple tricks up his sleeve, a curveball, a double pass, a trick play, something to spark. Because you can't just run your go-to plays. They're not working. You can't just run quick screens to Debo when they have such great team speed and good defensive backfield. You can't do it against the Niners because all the Niners DBs tackle and all their linebackers can run. Well, the Denver is very similar. So you can't run that play. This isn't the Chicago Bears in 2021 where that play is going to hit for 70 yards. Why not run a double pass? Do something. Why not try something out of the box? And I thought Kyle was just too vanilla last night. And I understand in a game like that, every possession matters. You don't want to turn it over. But ultimately, like, Jimmy can turn it over whenever, regardless. So you might as well, like, I felt he didn't play to win. He played very, very conservative, and it cost him. And if I was a defensive player, I'd be pissed. We dominated this game. Even if we gave up that touchdown drive, they scored 9 points on us. Now, I don't care if you're playing the Texans, or you're playing the Chiefs, or you're playing the Bills. If your defense gives up 9 points, you should win every time you play. That's an embarrassing game for the offensive coordinator and the quarterback. Just no way around it. Abysmal performance. Really, I mean, all the way around by both offenses. But at least the Denver Broncos had a touchdown drive when they needed it the most. And they got Russell Wilson some magic. It just, he can pull out magic every once in a while. He used to be able to do that a lot. And if he can't do that a lot, he is no longer worth the money that clearly they're going to be paying him the next couple of years. The Eagles. I was thinking about this. I mean, I've been thinking a lot about the Eagles. Is, you know, if you get a Mahomes or you get a Rodgers, you know, you get a Josh Allen, like you can have flawed teams as you're building it. You can miss on picks and they can overcome it because of their greatness. And that, every team builder, if you ask every single general manager or every single person listening to this podcast, if you were a GM, would you rather build your team from scratch and then try to find the quarterback? Or would you build a great team, or find the quarterback and then try to build the team around him? You would obviously find your quarterback first. That would be the number one goal. Quarterback first, figure it out. The Eagles thought they had it with Carson Wentz, and it blew up in their face. They realized he was not the guy. They were kind of screwed. But they had built a pretty good team around him. And then they made this transition to Jalen Hurts, which even as of last year, once they made the playoffs, we all questioned Jalen Hurts, including internally. I mean, the Eagles would never admit it, but they didn't think he was going to be this good. But what they did is they built a fantastic team. Because the number one thing you would do when you were building a great team is you'd be like, I want to dominate in the trenches. I'd want an awesome defensive line, and I'd want an awesome offensive line. Eagles have it. One of the best offensive lines in the league and a fantastic D-line. What would you do next? You'd be like, I want sweet wide receivers, and I want a DB. Well, what do they have? They got A.J. Brown, who's a badass. Devontae Smith, I looked up yesterday, halftime, 7 catches for 150. Never forget, he's a Heisman Trophy winner at wide receiver. And they also got a sweet tight end. So they got sweet perimeter playmakers. Darius Slay is sweet. So they got sweet DB. They got multiple playmakers. I mean, they are literally just set up. If they could just find a quarterback, a solid quarterback, they'd be awesome. And then as they've been doing this, their quarterback, I don't want to say out of nowhere because he showed flashes last year. He's playing right now like a top 10 guy. So when you have all that stuff around and I just insert a top 15 guy on that team, you're going to be competing for a wild card. If I give you a player who's, so far through three games, he's playing like one of the more dynamic guys in the league. His passing has improved dramatically. Beside like Lamar and Kyler, he's one of the best runners in the league. So you have one of the more dynamic players in the league at quarterback who is just liked by the teammates, who is just an explosive player, understands the offense, gets along with the coordinators. Like, no wonder they're 3-0. They are built to win, and then they're getting high-level quarterback play. So Howie Roseman deserves a lot of credit. You know, he kind of built the bully. They are built to sustain. I forget what podcast I heard this on, but I don't know if someone put it out on Twitter or whatever that they are, I mean, unless major injuries happen, they will be favored the rest of the year in the games they play. Obviously, you know, they haven't played the Giants or Cowboys yet. Like, they're better than those teams. So, Howie Roseman. Also, they hired Nick Sirianni. Once upon a time, no one even knew who Nick Sirianni was. And last year, early on, we kind of were making fun of him because of the press conference. Turns out it feels like Nick Sirianni kind of knows what he's doing. They got a pretty good coaching staff. They look pretty good. I mean, they kicked the shit out of the Commanders. So, the Eagles, man, they are here to stay. I was watching, I talked about this on Monday's podcast, just what a disaster the Cardinals are. I mean, just a full-on disaster, right? They're getting dominated early in games. Kyler just looks kind of out of it unless he pulls a play out of his, you know, crevices of you-know-what. Cliff, the offense is just, give me a break. I know they got injuries, but they have been, beside the last couple minutes and the last maybe, you know, an overtime of the Raider game, one of the worst teams in the league dating back to, like, Thanksgiving of last year. But one team, like, watching them pretty closely was the Rams playing them. I was just watching Matt Stafford, who has to be one of the most bizarre players in the league because no one would argue his talent. His talent is immense. He's athletic. He's tough. He's got a huge arm. When he's in rhythm, he can be accurate. He can make every single throw. He proved last year that you can win the Super Bowl with the guy. He is just a fantastic talent. And then you factor in the intangible stuff. His teammates love him. Coaches love him. Guys around the league love him. Like, it feels like he should be one of the poster guys of the league. And because he won the Super Bowl last year, he gets to go on some commercials. But then I'm watching him play, and I go, God, I would guess, and McVay would never admit this publicly. He would probably only tell, like, his close friends and his coaching staff. It's got to drive him nuts sometimes. Because Stafford will make some plays for a talented guy. Like, listen, like, Aaron Rodgers screws up, Mahomes screws up, Brady screws up. I feel like Stafford screw-ups are way crazier. I mean, Stafford will just airmail a guy. Cooper Kupp would be wide open. It'll airmail him by, you know, 20 yards. It's like, is that the worst pass I saw all day? The very next play, he'll do like a 360 out of a sack, scramble to his left, across his body, throw a dart to some random undrafted free agent for like a 17-yard first down. You're like, is that the best play I saw today? You go, is that the worst play, the next play, the best play? And I do think that's why that the Rams, like, they actually, in a weird way, for a guy that puts up big numbers, and again, they're the defending Super Bowl champs, don't really get consistent quarterback play at the highest level. Like, for the most part, Josh Allen, Mahomes, Brady, Rodgers, like, you're getting it consistently every game. Even Lamar, like, for the most part, Lamar brings it every game. Stafford is like, you watch series in, series out, you get kind of a different guy. And that's why playing a team who's god-awful, you know, they only win 20-12. Because the Rams should have won that game 30-10. But it's just difficult with Stafford. And even if you look at his stats, they don't look that bad. But just from the eye test, watching them, and I'm not acting like the Rams aren't good and they're not going to go to the playoffs, but my takeaway was just a bizarre player. I mean, I don't really know what else to say. I like him. I enjoy watching him. He's my type player. I like big arm guys. I like guys that push the ball down the field. But man, I would imagine McVay is glad to have him. I mean, he's definitely much better than Jared Goff. I mean, he's a top 10-ish quarterback. But he's got to be one of the more bizarre good players in the league. Richard Sherman doesn't think he's that good. Thinks he's very overrated. Why? Because he throws a bunch of picks. I mean, he was a dropped Kwaski Tart interception away from them losing in the championship game last year. I saw him blow multiple games in the Niners all throughout last year because he just throws all these interceptions. In a weird way with the guy, you're always going to get a great effort. He's always going to really try, and you like going to war with the guy who's that tough. But you don't always know what you're going to get. Like, at any moment, he can throw multiple picks. I've been thinking a lot since that game ended with the Chargers. And you guys know where I stand with Brandon Staley. And, you know, I think my takes on him that has been going consistent for a while now will only age better with time. I feel as good about my Brandon Staley lot, like my spot on that piece of real estate and that take, as I do with my Cliff Kyler Arizona Cardinal take. Like, I'm not budging over either one of those. I'm going down swinging. And I'm not Stephen A. or Skip. Like, I have no problem changing my opinion. I'm not going to be telling you LeBron sucks year 17, right? That's just not me. But I'm pretty confident how those things are going to age. Other ones, like, you never know some of these, you know? I didn't think Jalen Hurts was that good. Then Jalen Hurts was good, and I changed my opinion. I wasn't that big of a Lamar fan. Now I think Lamar, I look yesterday, he accounts for 5 touchdowns. I mean, this guy accounts for so many scores. I'm like, Lamar's sweet. Lamar's a badass. I got no problem changing my opinion. But when I feel pretty confident about something, and the more and more that I get evidence, like, I double down. And that's the way I approach life. And Urban Meyer was a guy, and a take I used to have. I used to call him Fraud Meyer. Not because if you put him at an elite institution that cared about football, Florida, Ohio State, he wouldn't dominate. Because before NIL, the top schools cheated more than most of the other schools. They had more money to cheat. He could go to Florida and pay a team full of drug dealers and a murderer and dominate college football. He'd go to Ohio State and just cook the books and load up his team and kick everyone's ass, including Saban's. He was a fantastic college coach when he could, you know, rig the deal. He'd get the best players. Wasn't a fair fight. Cheating his ass off. And he morally acted superior. He had scumbags on his coaching staff. I always thought the guy was fraudulent. And never question if he ran your college football program, you wouldn't win. I just thought the guy had some fraudulent characteristics. Then he got a chance to go to the NFL. And difference in the NFL, even if back in the day when you're cheating in college, like paying a guy $500,000, you're still making $8 million. So that guy still answers to you. In the pros, if I'm paying you $10 million, you're going to have several guys in your team making $15, $20, $25 million. Guys make more money than you. Even your first-round pick, he might make $7 million. You're making $9 million. He's still making $7 million. Every player on your team, including the last guy on your roster, he's still making almost $1 million. They're all driving $90,000 to $150,000 cars, just like you are. And Urban Meyer was destined. I didn't think it would go as bad as it did, but he couldn't handle it. He got exposed immediately. Couldn't handle it in the big leagues. Because in the big leagues, private sector, true money. We don't have to fake any of it. We don't have to lie about it. There are no bags of cash given. There are direct deposits where Uncle Sam knows about. Everyone's getting paid in the building. And he got exposed, you know, and he didn't make it through the season. Hell, Chip Kelly, who I don't think is a very good coach, lasted several seasons with the Eagles, even made the playoffs, could just handle the operation for a little bit. Urban had no chance. And the Jags last year, I gave Trevor Lawrence somewhat of a pass because I don't think any 21, 22-year-old could overcome that level of incompetence, that level of, let's face it, I've always thought this. I had an experience when I was in radio, and I believe this to my core, that if you have a superior, a boss in any line of work, whether it's a football coach, whether you're in the military, whether you're in business, and you have no respect for him because you don't believe he has any clue what he's doing, it will be borderline impossible to function. When you don't respect the guy above you in the hierarchy chart, it is hard to operate. And it's hard, and I've been there. I worked for a guy in radio that is the biggest imbecile I've ever been around. I couldn't look at him in the face. I couldn't take any of his words seriously. Everything he said was just the dumbest things I've ever heard. The older you get, you're bound to be in a situation like that, and it shapes you the rest of your life. And it really is hard to function. And so I would imagine there were guys on the Jags hearing things or seeing things from Urban Meyer going, this is fucking insane. I mean, if you're Trevor Lawrence, you come from Clemson and Dabo Sweeney and Brett Venables and the dude, I forget his name, but he's coaching Virginia now. They had one of the more stable programs in the country, high-level operation, competing for national championships, just a family-oriented deal. Just one of the standards in my lifetime of college athletics, basketball or football. And then you go to Urban Meyer, kicking kickers and getting laughed at. The coaching staff hated him. Who can function in that environment? Most people can't, and they didn't. Now you get Doug Peterson, who's a lifetime NFL guy, was a backup quarterback since the 90s for guys like Dan Marino, Brett Favre, who, Jesus, I read the story on that one, looks like a douchebag, and Donovan McNabb. So this guy has played and been around Andy Reid, Don Shula, Mike Holmgren, Doug, and I've known Doug Peterson since when I got hired. He had been hired the year before with the Eagles. I think my first year when I was like basically the lowest guy in the totem pole, he was the quality control coach. The next year he was the quarterback coach. And I think the next year he might have even been the offensive coordinator or quarterback coach too. I can't remember. But I was around Doug for 3 years. And I've seen him at combines and whatever. I will say this for Doug. If you met Doug yesterday, he's a Super Bowl champion. He's now resurrected Trevor Lawrence's career. If you didn't know he was a football coach, you just ran into him at Safeway or Burger Joint, he would act like he is your neighbor. He is one of the nicest guys going. Yet you look at his resume, beat Belichick in a Super Bowl with Nick freaking Foles. He played in the NFL for a long time and backed up some of the greatest quarterbacks ever. Yet he carries himself just like a blue-collar nice guy. He is one of the easiest-going people you will ever meet in the NFL. And can you imagine going from Frod Meyer, who had no clue what he was doing, to Doug Peterson, just one of the more consistent human beings and nicer guys in probably like league history, who just pretty much no ego? I just think the Jags, and you saw him coaching against Brandon Staley. On Brandon Staley's best day, he will never be as good as Doug Peterson's average day. And now that Doug Peterson comes back, a little bit of a chip on his shoulder, the way things ended in Philly, and he gets to inherit, like, think about this. Once upon a time, he gets hired in Philly, they get Carson Wentz, and for a couple years, that looked pretty good, you know? And then it went off the rails, and now Carson, I might have been a little too bullish on Carson after week one. It's not looking great. Not looking good at all. It's not even maybe all his fault, but I am just, maybe Carson Wentz isn't that good. But Trevor Lawrence is. Trevor Lawrence is really talented, and the sky's the limit. And Doug Peterson gets a chance to, when you've been as bad as the Jags have been, and they've been literally, I said this on Sunday night, they've been the worst team in the league for 24 months. That's the only way it's possible to draft number one back-to-back years. You can't be any worse. You can't draft zero. They drafted number one back-to-back years. Well, when you draft number one, that means you draft high in every single round. And when you draft high in every single round, you just get the pick of the litter in the second round, the third round, the fourth round. Maybe the Jags have more talent than we believe, but most importantly now, they have a credible coach, a calming influence, a professional, a guy that belongs in the NFL. Not someone in college that just can organize, you know, bags of cash to the top players and then basically just, you know, over, you know, machismo his way and force coaches and players to do it his way. That's not the way it works in the NFL. The NFL is a scheme game. It's a thinking man's game. I can't just buy everything. I have to outthink my opponent. And we saw Urban Meyer had no chance to do that. And Doug Peterson has been an offensive coordinator now for 5+ years. He is a schematic guy. And I'm rooting for him. Big game this week against the Eagles. Kind of a cool little Doug Peterson back Sirianni, Trevor Lawrence, Jalen Hurts. That should be a fun game. Jags, looks like they got a chance to be pretty good.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Black Buffalo products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of nicotine or tobacco. If you're an adult age 21 and older and use nicotine or tobacco, I want to tell you about an American-made success story in Black Buffalo's award-winning nicotine pouches. Black Buffalo's nicotine pouches are not owned by Big Tobacco. They're an independent company proudly built right here in the USA for 21 and over adult consumers. Black Buffalo was built by dippers with decades of smokeless tobacco use. They believed the market wanted tobacco alternative nicotine products that offered the best of both worlds. Bold flavor, full pouches. What are they made of? It's pretty simple. Cured edible green leaves, food grade ingredients, and pharmaceutical grade nicotine. Most importantly, there's no tobacco leaf or stem. All proudly made right here in the USA. So if you're 21 and older, consume nicotine or tobacco, and want to join the Black Buffalo herd, head over to blackbuffalo.com to learn more. You can order nicotine pouches online, and they ship directly to most states. Or check out the store locator to purchase pouches at thousands of retail locations around the country. Black Buffalo Tobacco Alternative. Bold flavor, full pouches.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season one, helped me choose a team, a driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Cam Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season two because, as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there.
What are the rumors? What's the gossip?
But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going to pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like.
Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to season two of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts. You find it.
couple other things, just wanted to fly around the league. I said this going into last week, two guys, a lot of pressure on them. Matt Rhule, Baker Mayfield, they got a win against Dennis Allen, who I told you, like, Dennis Allen, Jameis Winston, give me a break. That team's in shambles. That team's got a chance. I mean, they got talent, but the head coach, the quarterback, I don't see it. Howie Roseman has their first-round pick. Would it shock you? Sean Payton was a huge loss. All of a sudden, that pick's going to be, fringe top 10. But Baker Mayfield, they handled business. And I think Carolina Panthers probably a little bit better than everyone realized. Kind of like them moving forward. I think they're going to be feisty. The other team that just, I think if he would have lost yesterday, and honestly, it looked like he was going to lose, I think Frank might have been fired today. But somehow, they pulled that game. Dumb penalty by Chris Jones. I mean, at points in the time in that game, it felt like the Chiefs were a play or two away from kind of blowing it open, and they just couldn't. Give you credit. The whole point of the game is find a way to win, and the Colts did, and Frank somehow survived. But I'll be honest, watch a lot of that game. I don't know. I don't necessarily see it. I think it's going to be a struggle for them all season long. Obviously, the news. I'm recording this right before Monday Night Football, this part. Schefter had said that Mac Jones obviously had a high ankle sprain. The level of the timetable is somewhat unknown. I flipped over to that game yesterday, and it is just, it's surreal to see Matt Patricia on the sideline calling plays. I can never get over. Even though before Matt got hurt, he pulled a couple plays out of nowhere, scrambling around. Like, it was pretty impressive. He's also turned the ball over a lot, threw a couple picks yesterday. I never saw it with the Patriots. I told you I thought they were like a 6-win team, and I'm a Belichick truther. But he's out for an extended period of time. Like, they're screwed. It's over. This team is headed toward... I know Belichick's great, but if they got to play with Brian Hoyer, I mean, are we talking about a 4 or 5-win team? I just don't think they have that much talent. And now you're missing Mac Jones for who knows how long. And anyone that's played pickup basketball that has had a bad ankle sprain... I remember the worst time I ever sprained my ankle... Parents just got a puppy, Callie. She was probably at the time maybe 3 or 4 months, a yellow lab. And I was running with her, and I leaped over this kind of like concrete stool thing in our backyard. And I landed in the grass, but in a hole, and my ankle went. And when you get a high ankle sprain, it feels like you shattered your ankle. It is. I never, ever have a problem with anyone basically crying when that happens. That pain... of bending your ankle. And listen, I've never been slammed by an NFL defensive lineman. But even if you just do it on a basketball court, jumping somewhere, you want to cry. I don't care how tough you are. So, and then obviously, Trent Williams has one, Mac Jones, they are bad. And when you get them, they clearly take a long, long time to heal. So, I think without Mac Jones, who, listen, I'm not even the biggest fan of as a player, I think that the Patriots... or, God, they're screwed. I'm not saying I overvalued this team, because Lamar Jackson is just a scoring machine. You just look at his box score. It's like, threw 4 touchdowns, ran for another. 1 week, threw 3 touchdowns, ran for 2. He just scores points. It's my biggest issue with the Niners, whether it's Trey Lance or Jimmy Garoppolo. I need the quarterback to put the ball in the end zone, whether that's with his legs, whether that's throwing touchdowns. Find a way to score points. It's the point of the game. We need to put points on the board. And Lamar Jackson, point scorer, whether it's with his arm, whether it's with his legs, dude is just a playmaker. And it's one thing to be a playmaker 20-20. He finds a way in the end zone, and he's done it since he's gotten in the league. One thing that concerns me a little bit with the Ravens, their defense is not as good as I thought it would be. But one reason I thought they would be a power, because I thought their offense was going to be good, but I thought their defense was going to be really good. So I thought they were going to be a very complete team. And I watched them on defense. I mean, last week they obviously crumbled. This week against Mac Jones, even the Patriots were making plays against them. I think the Patriots skill wise are one of the worst, skill position guys in the league. So I have some concerns with the Ravens as a team, not necessarily with their offense. Dolphins and Bills. I was doing a lot of moving. I moved a bunch of stuff into my office, which should be up and running hopefully in the next week, here in Scottsdale. So I wasn't able to watch some of the games that I missed. I didn't see really any of that game. Obviously, I've seen some of the stats. I mean, 90 plays to whatever, 39. Pretty insane. I did see the ending of that game. I know I talked about the Dorsey video. You just got to have situational awareness to run out of bounds. I don't know what to tell you, but I see it with the 49ers. The Bills have a million injuries. It's hard. I was talking to someone, maybe it was Gottlieb. I go on his radio show once a week. It's pretty crazy in the NFL. We've never taken more, in football in general. Like when I was in high school, you get a concussion, they throw you back in. That was like 2003, 2002. You get a concussion, shake it off, boom, get back in the game. It wasn't even that long ago. Now, concussions, the safety of the league is big time, even though obviously the Tua thing, they claim it's a back, Tua claimed it was head. He clearly hit his head on the play. You know, that's something the media usually freaks out about. I can't even pretend to care. I don't think actually anyone actually cares. It's just one of those things. It looks cool to get worked up about it on social media. It's not like changes the way you're living your life. It's like, ah! But listen, if they say it's a back, I mean, I don't know. But sure looked like his head. But ultimately, my point is that all these guys getting injured left and right, like, I don't remember this many consistent injuries when I was a kid. Like in the 90s, in the 2000s, back when they had double days. It's somewhat like sparring. I'm not, you know, a UFC or a boxer, but I know that for those guys to get ready for the fight, what do? They spar. You can't just get into the ring and get hit if you're not used to it. And I've been going to training camp practices and NFL practices now for a long time. They just don't practice like they used to. But the team, the speed of all these players, guys have never been faster. So while the collisions might not be quite as crazy because guys don't lead with their head and stuff, it's still very violent. And these injuries are just left and right now. So I don't know. I mean, my only theory would be is like, I don't think the lack of practice is actually helping keep guys safe, which sounds crazy, but that's just a reality. And then last but not least, I'm rooting for the Lions. I like Dan Campbell. Right when I got hired with the Eagles, Deuce Staley, I used to pick him up every day. He was also like an intern, and I love Deuce Staley. You could tell immediately the dude had it. So if you have Deuce Staley on your coaching staff, I'm going to root for your team. And then obviously you watch Hard Knocks. The Lions are a likable team. When you are the underdog, whether it be in football, whether it be in business, in anything, you have nothing to lose, right? When you're on top, when you're the Yankees, when you're the Warriors, when you're Amazon, when you're Apple, you got a lot to lose. When you're the little guy, like when Boise State played Oklahoma, you know why they ran the Statue of Liberty? Because you know what happens if it didn't work? No one thought they were going to beat Oklahoma. So when you're the underdog, you might as well take swings. Because if you don't lose, no one thought you were going to win to begin with. It's why so many people that make it big take huge risks. And Dan Campbell, I watched the fourth quarter of that game, and he said after the game, I screwed up. Basically, I pussed out. He kicked the field goal instead of going forward on fourth and four. And when he kicked the field goal, he missed the field goal. A couple plays later, Kirk Cousins throws a touchdown. They're up three. He tried to kick a field goal to make him go up six, and Kirk Cousins, they didn't get it. And three or four plays later, he throws a long touchdown, and the Vikings win. And I'm pretty sure the Lions, I mean, I followed the game on the ticker, watching a little bit of the game back today because I wanted to see that situation. We're leading the majority of the game. And Dan Campbell said he regretted it, and he told his team that. And I think the number one thing and quality that I was rooting for them and I believe Dan Campbell would have is he'd kind of be fearless. And sometimes it's easy to talk about being fearless. Like, hey, I'm willing to invest. And the stock market starts plummeting. It's like, oh, I don't want to put my money into it. Well, if you want to make big money, you usually got to buy stuff when it's low. So if you're not willing to buy, if over the next year, if economic chaos happens and the recession happens, don't be the guy in 5 or 6 years. Well, I should have done that. When the housing market went down 30%, you know, I was hoping it would go down 50% and it didn't. And then it shot back up. I should have bought. Don't be that guy. Have the balls. And I hope Dan Campbell isn't just saying that he regrets it, but he starts doing it. You know, part of, you know, if the Lions are going to have success with Dan Campbell and Jared Goff as his quarterback, they're going to have to have some balls. And listen, Dan Campbell screwed up yesterday, and it might have cost his team the win because they're in every game. And I don't think they're going away. But like I said, I think right before the season for some of these bad teams, the only way to not be bad is to get some early positive momentum, to get some wins. and the Lions were this close, 4 yards away from being 2-1 and having an enormous win over the Minnesota Vikings, division rival. But instead, they try to kick a field goal, backfires, and they lose.
The Volume.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.